This program is brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to issue a ruling sometime this month that could overturn Roe v. Wade, eliminating federal protection for women seeking an abortion. If that happens, Wisconsin's century-old abortion ban law would likely go into effect. It has exceptions only for the life of the mother. We will be hosting on Newsmakers two discussions on this topic, and today we welcome pro-life advocates Julian Applin from Wisconsin Family Action and Representative Barbara Dietrich, an Oconomowoc Republican. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
Thanks for having us.
Julian, let's start with you. You've been a pro-life advocate for many years. How are you reflecting on this time where the U.S. Supreme Court is at this juncture of potentially overturning Roe v. Wade?
Well, you know, this is the kind of issue that you think about, you pray about, you talk about, you hope for, and you work for. And for the 25 years that I've been doing this, that's what I've done and, you know, how I've thought. But I don't think I really ever believed we would be here in my time. So it's encouraging that we are even able to talk realistically about the possibility. I'm very encouraged. I realize it took this leaked draft opinion for people to realize that it's not just, you know, we're daydreaming or pipe dreaming. It's reality that it could happen. So I think it's the culmination of the excellent pro-life work that has taken place in our state for nearly 50 years now. So I'm very encouraged by it.
Now, even though abortion has been legal in Wisconsin for quite a while, the rate of abortions in Wisconsin has been going down, trending down over time, including a steep decline since the late 1980s. So Wisconsin recorded nearly 18,000 abortions in 1988. That was a high compared to about 6,400 abortions in 2020. The estimated, what they call the induced abortion ratio, the number of reported induced abortions per 100 live births, that ratio was 10 per 100 live births in Wisconsin in 2020, and that was the same as 2019. Representative Dietrich, what do you think has been contributing to that decline over the years?
Well, definitely the hard work of people like Julian, and I think also, you know, it used to be we didn't have standardized amnio and all these procedures where you can see the baby before birth, and now we do. You know, we have 3D ultrasounds now, and people see, excuse me, that this really is a person in there. And so I think that really contributes to it. Also, I would say the more widespread availability of birth control, so that pregnancies can be prevented rather than, you know, lives being taken after a woman finds herself pregnant.
You know, we mentioned that 1849 law that's currently on the books that might go into effect if the Supreme Court strikes down Roe v. Wade. That law does not have exceptions for certain things that are popular in the polling with Wisconsin voters, exceptions for rape and incest. Do you think that that law should go into effect without those exceptions?
I think what I think is really pretty irrelevant. It's really a matter of what the legislature will come together and do.
Is there momentum to update that?
Well, I would tell you, I think that there are as many different opinions on this as there are people in the legislature. So what that means to Wisconsinites is that law is likely to go into effect without those changes, because will you be able to get the majority of people that want to make a change to it? When we're talking about the rape and incest exceptions, on the high side, the Guttmacher Institute, which is a pro-choice institute, even quotes on the high side, maybe 1% of induced abortions are for those reasons. So they may be popular, but is it rational? So it will be interesting to see what happens when the legislature comes together, if there will be momentum to make any changes.
Julaine, should there be exceptions for rape and incest?
No. As Representative Dietrich pointed out, first of all, numerically and statistically, it's a very low number of people that would fall into those two areas. Because how a baby is conceived, as far as the circumstances surrounding that conception, doesn't change the value, the inherent worth, and the reality that at the moment of conception, we have a new human being formed. So, and when you get to the life of the mother, that is an 1849 law, and we do have the life of the mother in there. Our concern about the life of the mother is, fortunately, it's better than the health of the mother, okay, because that is way too broad. But the life of the mother is an issue where there's a lot of controversy about what it means. And what we know about people who are looking to do abortions, they're very good at finding loopholes. So our hope is, number one, that this law is enforced. Now, unfortunately, Attorney General Josh Call,
we're going to talk about that, yes,
has already said he will not do what he's elected to do, which is to, you know, support Wisconsin duly enacted legislation regarding this particular law. But I don't think we need that in there. What I think the legislature ought to do is to actually firm up that law and clarify by what we mean by the life of the mother. We've got some good model language in another bill that the legislature took up this session. Well, it was at least introduced this session that I think would help with that, to make a medical emergency.
So, Representative Dietrich, do you think, is there urgency in the Republican caucus to update that law, to make some of the changes that Julaine is talking about, or to think about those exceptions more seriously?
That is a great question, and I would say we haven't talked about it as a caucus yet.
Should there be an urgency around that?
I'm not sure that there should, because, again, it's such a small number of people. And also, let's talk about the medical advances since Roe versus Wade. You know, there are things now where you would never do an abortion for the life of the mother. You might deliver the baby via C-section early, and babies are kept alive in NICUs at such a young age, you know, some even as early as like 22 weeks now. So
what I think I hear you saying is rare, almost never.
Well, what Representative Dietrich is talking about is so important that people understand we're beyond either or when it comes to either the life of the baby or the life of the mother. Right. We're now at both and, medically and scientifically. Mm-hmm. If a baby dies in the process of trying to treat the mother and to save her life, that is way, way different from intentionally killing the baby before you even try to take care of the mother. And so that's where that difference is. And fortunately, we're in this time when we can talk about the fact that we have these advances. And I wanted to just add that one of the reasons those abortion rates have gone down is because we've passed some really good laws appropriately restricting and regulating abortion in our state. The 20-week abortion ban, the ultrasound requirement, you know, no telemed abortion, RU46 available to women, you know, through that telemed option, a number of things, especially during the Walker administration, that have really contributed to an appropriate decrease in abortion. Now, from our perspective, any abortion is one too many, because everyone represents a human life. But the legislature is to be commended for many of the things that they've done to help that happen.
A lot of statewide polling on this issue over the years. According to most recent polling, a majority of Wisconsin voters say that they are not supportive of getting rid of Roe v. Wade and the right for women to access abortion. January Marquette Law School poll, Wisconsin voters were asked if the Supreme Court should strike down Roe. 22% had not heard of the issue, didn't have an opinion on this. But 56% said the court should not abolish Roe v. Wade or remove right to an abortion, compared to 22% who said the court should make abortion illegal. And then in October of last year, 61% of Wisconsin voters said abortion should be legal in all or most cases. Do poll numbers matter when it comes to setting Wisconsin policy on abortion?
Well, I want to back up a little bit with the poll questions that were asked. Mm-hmm. Because let's be clear, the Roe versus Wade thing, all that does is kick it back to the states. This is a states' rights issue. Okay? And so I think that's one area where people who are polled are not clear on this. This go back, goes back to the state level, okay? We already have state law in place, as we did prior to Roe.
Weren't those people saying they wanted it to be federal policy, though, in the poll?
Regardless, this is what the Supreme Court is deciding right now, is this a states' right issue? And if they come back and say, nope, this goes back to the states, this is what will happen. Now, one thing that I find myself focused on in this situation, we're still talking about, even with the decrease in abortions, the way I figure the numbers, we're killing about 17 children a day in this state to abortion. Why are we still doing that when we can prevent pregnancy? We, you know, science has advanced so much, okay? If you don't want to be pregnant, you don't have to be pregnant. And I just think that if you even look at crime in this state and that sort of thing, we've so devalued human life, and it's starting at conception, that we've created a terrible conundrum for ourselves.
Julaine, do you think those polls matter? What do you learn from those polls?
Well, first of all, I don't think a lot of people understand when we talk about abortion what we're talking about. I think there's still a great deal of ignorance about the breadth and depth of Roe versus Wade, because basically what the court did in 1973 was give us abortion on demand, anytime and for any reason or no reason. And as most people do not understand that, and they don't understand because it's not being taught as faithfully and as correctly as it should be, that life begins at the moment of conception. So that, that's the biology, right? So that's number one. We have as much education as we've done. We still need to do more. Secondly, I agree with Representative Dietrich on this. I do believe people don't understand that when Roe was decided by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973, they robbed states of the right to make a decision about that and to retain our right to do that. We had in place a pre-Roe statute, 1849, as you pointed out. Other states had similar what we call pre-Roe statutes. Other states have subsequently put in trigger laws, and some states have made even constitutional amendments. This needs to come back to the states. I think Representative Dietrich is right. What the U.S. Supreme Court is trying to do is to restore federalism, to restore the right of states to make these kinds of decisions.
And that's where it belongs.
Exactly. Get it out of the courts. What the court did was judicial activism in the rawest form in 1973 when they said, concocted a right to abortion out of the U.S. Constitution and made it a federal issue. People just don't understand that. But look, we're at 50 years. So many of the people alive today, have never known a non-Roe world. And they just don't have the background on it. So I don't.
The polls reflect that people don't quite understand the issue.
And there were just new polls that came out today, actually, on this at the Gallup poll, and a New York Times poll came out apparently over the weekend, saying that people didn't want Roe, that they don't have any longer a moral objection to abortion, and it's because they largely don't understand what actually happens in an abortion. And they don't understand the biology of life beginning at conception. So, no,
we're not going to use polls to set abortion policy in Wisconsin.
Well, when we're talking about an issue like this that is truly a life and death issue, the polls to me are immaterial. They might give us a gauge of where we think the people are. But by the way, some of these, now I realize this was a Wisconsin poll that you're talking about, so it's a little bit more applicable than a federal poll, by the way. But there's just such a gross misunderstanding still about all of this. So
you feel the same polls shouldn't direct the policy?
I do. And also, I would springboard off of what Julaine's saying, and saying that sometimes these polls can inform us that we need to educate the public in a more effective way, because there's not a comprehensive understanding. So
another question that's coming up related to the 1849 law is what you had addressed earlier about what does it mean to preserve the life of the mother? When would it be acceptable to for a doctor to prescribe an abortion to save the life of the mother? And you mentioned advancements in the medical field, but now that doctors might face penalties or prison time if they're involved in abortion, do there need to be standards, and what would those standards be around the life of the mother?
Well, I'm just going to hearken to a I think Representative Dietrich will remember this. Representative Donna Roser and Representative Julian Bradley, or Senators Julian Bradley, introduced a Wisconsin heartbeat bill this year. And in there, they had some beautiful language for emergency medical situations that actually go to the life of the mother. And because I'm a no exceptions person, Representative Dietrich has probably worked with me long enough to realize I'll never start with exceptions. I will live with them if we need to. And so in the heartbeat bill, the language is very carefully crafted, and I think most of the credit is due to Representative Donna Roser for crafting it very tightly. And that's what I think we would need to do on the current 1849 statute.
To define what that, yes, what that life means, and you support that work.
Yes, I think it will definitely be a challenge, because once you open up that door to those definitions and amendments, the door is open. So that's going to be the challenge. But I think it actually benefits the doctors to have a clear definition. I'll give you, for instance, one thing we hear again and again is women who have an ectopic pregnancy. Oh, the doctors are going to be thrown in jail for terminating that pregnancy. Nothing could be further from the truth. Even faith communities recognize that that is not a situation where you let that continue. But do we need to have it in state statute so doctors feel like they are covered with liability? Perhaps we do. So those are discussions we'll have, I'm sure, as we get
necessary
further down the road with this. Yes.
Okay. You mentioned the enforcement, and the Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has already said he would not participate in enforcement of an abortion ban in Wisconsin. There's a backlog for district attorneys. Our law enforcement's dealing with increasing crime. How should this be enforced? How should it be prioritized? If it becomes law,
district attorneys and the attorney general in our state swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, the laws of the state of Wisconsin as well, and that's their job. Okay, and so number one, I fully expect that Attorney General Josh Call should do that. I think it's a dereliction of duty to not do that. What he said in those statements was putting his personal agenda and a political agenda, because, you know, look, it's no secret. Planned Parenthood spent over $750,000 last cycle to get Tony Evers elected. Okay, but he's putting that agenda ahead of what is right and what is his responsibility. How do you prioritize that? Well, I think you make it a high priority, first of
high
all.
High priority.
In my opinion, you make it a high priority. But secondly, I just note here, I will be shocked, if this statute isn't challenged legally almost the minute that we get, if we get a favorable.
So it might not go into effect immediately in Wisconsin?
Well, it'll be interesting to see the first court that gets a hold of it to see what they do with it. You know, it is a 100-year-old, 150-year-old law. So it'd be interesting. Look, in a perfect world, I wish they wouldn't challenge it immediately, but there's a track record here. We've watched Planned Parenthood. I know, you know, Barb and I both have watched Planned Parenthood hardly before the ink's dry on a regulation or restriction of abortion. They're in court challenging it. So
we talked a little bit about maternal health and maternal mortality. Pregnancy-related deaths are pretty rare, but they do occur. Looking at the most recent data for Wisconsin from 2011 and 2017, an average of 30 Wisconsin mothers died within 1 year of pregnancy each year. You see a little bit of an increase in this data, but not really a clear trend. Black mothers die at a rate 5 times higher than non-Hispanic white women. Causes of those deaths, as I'm sure you know, mental health, substance use, hemorrhaging, heart-related conditions. Researchers who've looked at what's happened in other states with more restrictive abortion laws say they expect a national ban on abortion could increase maternal deaths by 21%. Are you concerned about the potential for increasing maternal mortality with a change in Wisconsin law?
I am not, and here's why. I also have looked through that data, and what I think is a little deceiving, actually, is that the large majority, are due to mental health and substance abuse. That's not the pregnancy causing the maternal death. Mm-hmm. So that right there, and I think many of us are really trying to get our arms around the huge issues we have with substance abuse and mental health in this state. Those things right there need to be dealt with regardless. And I will also say, I personally am offended by the talk of abortion as health care. Any woman who has gone through an abortion or any of these female procedures, I've had a miscarriage, I've had a DNC before, you are putting a woman's health in danger doing these procedures, even as professionally as things are done. So this isn't health care. This isn't going to prevent mortality. Let's get at what's really causing the mortality for these women. It's not carrying a child to term.
The Wisconsin Maternal Mortality Report says nearly 97% of pregnancy-related deaths in the state were preventable, I think, to mm-hmm. your point. Mm-hmm. They do make some recommendations in their report on what needs to change to improve health for pregnant women across the board. And they talk about expanding Medicaid eligibility to provide better postpartum care for moms. They talk about expanding access to mental health services, better continuity of care. Do you think there needs to be changes in prenatal and postnatal care for all moms, improvements there?
Well, I'm sure there's room for improvement. But one of the things that you have here is, again, there's an education issue. And if you look at those numbers, and I believe we see them more in our inner cities than any place, right? One of the fundamental problems we have in our inner cities is the breakdown of the family unit, okay? And when these families don't form and yet people are being, you know, are conceiving outside of the bonds of marriage, then what we have is we lose support systems. They're more likely to do substance abuse. They are more likely to suffer the mental health issues. And so a lot of this comes back to the fact that we just have a disintegration of the foundational issue, or excuse me, the foundational institution in our society, which is a family.
So do you advocate for improvements for prenatal or postnatal health care?
I think that we should do something to do that. What needs to be expanded, I'm not sure, you know, and how we do that. But I do think that we should make efforts to educate on all of these issues. You still have to get to the people, right? You still have to find them. You have to educate them that the help is available. We have trouble with that inside our, at least that's what I hear. I hear that all the time, that in our inner cities in particular, there is a real problem with people getting the information on where the help is mm-hmm. and how to get the help. So we have to figure out not just putting money towards it, but actually spending the money in a way that allows people to know help is available.
You mentioned our inner city women, black women, and women in poverty are more likely to seek an abortion for a variety of reasons, including what's documented as unequal access to housing, education, jobs, health care. Do you support policies like paid leave or expanded child care for moms as a part of this policy to change access to abortion?
Well, I think overall, I have supported and will continue to support policies that help families. And these are issues we're all looking at. If you go back to what we were just talking about, mental health and like Medicaid expansion, we passed a bill expanding telehealth for Medicaid for mental health care. But again, do people know about that? We have pregnancy resource centers that will be of support to these young mothers. And we'll give them grants and so forth to monetarily help them. Child care is a huge ongoing issue everywhere. And what can we do to support women to be innovative in child care? You know, government isn't always the answer. Sometimes it's coming together as a community and helping one another, job sharing, things of this nature, so that you can thrive as a family. But again, people have to know what's out there and have to be empowered to go make it better for themselves.
Better education. Mm-hmm. Do you think this issue will factor into this issue of what happens with Roe v. Wade and abortion law in Wisconsin will be on people's minds as they go to the polls in November?
I think the issue of Roe v. Wade, yes, and the issue of abortion. We knew that the minute that the Dobbs case came, you know, which of course came out of Mississippi, that went to the Supreme Court. We knew the timing on it. I think everybody on both sides of this issue realized how that would play into the election cycle. And it will play in a huge way, regardless of how this decision comes down. And, you know, we anticipate that any time now. And so I think, I know our organization, we're primed for it.
Are you doing voter education on this issue?
Well, always. Mm-hmm. Always. But in particular, as we look at the decision coming down from the Supreme Court in particular and talking about what that means. But I think Representative Dietrich hit something very, very important here is these pregnancy resource centers will play a huge role. If the issue comes back to the states, then we need to figure out how do we help women in crisis pregnancies. And by the way, men too. And we can funnel them through churches and other institutions and organizations into pregnancy care centers where they'll get really good help, not just to keep their baby and how, you know, all the support they need, but beyond that, for childcare. Mm-hmm. Many of these PRCs, pregnancy care centers or resource centers, are now engaging in helping the women find childcare and, you know, find employment and housing. They are an incredible gift to us here in the state. So, yeah, this is a huge election issue coming into midterms.
Do you think the issue helps Republicans in the fall, given what those polls say?
Actually, I do. And here's the reason why I say that. If you look at people who are pro-choice, after that first trimester, support vastly drops off. Okay, so most people are like, we don't want things loosey-goosey. We understand abortion. We maybe want it available, but we want some parameters around it. And I think that you find that in the Republican Party. You do not find that in the Democrat Party. And I will say, for me, I've always been a pro-life candidate. I've always been out there with my position on it. So people have always known what they're getting with me.
You don't think it'll affect you?
Yeah, and I think many of my colleagues are the same. So I don't see it hurting us in the election. People are going to have to decide what their priority is. And I think the single issue voters on this topic are pretty much entrenched on both sides already. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it should sway the election maybe as much as some people think it might.
Julaine, when that draft Supreme Court paper was out, you experienced some vandalism at your office at Wisconsin Family Action. I know there was a fire and a Molotov cocktail that was thrown into your office, and then some vandalism spray painting said, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either. How is your staff dealing with that?
Well, we're doing well. Look, it took place early in the early morning hours of Mother's Day. I got the call about 7:45. I was at church getting ready for a ladies' brunch that we were hosting there. Our staff was where we were supposed to be. We were either at home getting ready for church or we were already at church. So no one was there, and I think the perpetrators knew that. Our staff, of course, has rallied. We haven't missed a beat. You know, maybe we've been, you know, a little bit off balance as far as, okay, like, it was my personal office. So, you know, I've been the floater in the office now and, you know, trying to find space for me. But we are moving forward with all of our programs. We have a very aggressive election plan in place. It's ready to launch. We're running a teen camp in the middle of July. We're, by God's grace, to be honest with you, we're still doing what we're doing. I said very publicly when this happened, if they think that we're going to go away or be silent about the things we believe in particular the sanctity of human life, they picked the wrong group.
You're not afraid of future violence there?
No, I will say, though, we've taken extra security measures. We're constantly doing things that we need to do to make sure, ensure this, the security of our staff and our premises. And so, in fact, that's just an ongoing issue. I want this resolved quickly. And the only reason I want it resolved quickly, Lisa, is that I don't want it to happen to anybody else. The sooner we find out who did this, and bring them, you know, bring the charges and bring them to justice, the less likely we are to have it copied in other places around the country. And somebody is going to get hurt if this doesn't stop. And so we're not about vengeance. We're about human justice. You can't get by with trying to, they tried two Molotov cocktails, and neither one of them did exactly what they wanted. So they set a fire. Some reporters said, you know, a fire broke out. Fire didn't break out. They set a fire in my office. So this needs to be addressed. But we really are doing well. This has put us in places where I never realized we'd be, and given us opportunities all across the nation to be bold and strong on what we believe. So
you mentioned, Representative Dietrich, how entrenched people are in this issue. Is there common ground on abortion in Wisconsin? Do you ever expect an area of an agreement?
That's a really interesting question, because I think, you know, bottom line, you either believe that's a person or you don't believe that's a person in the womb. Common ground probably isn't the word I'd use. Can you have civil dialogue about it is probably more of what I would say. And I think there are still some people who can have civil dialogue about it. For example, you know, I've introduced bills that made exception for rape, incest, and the life of the mother, because I thought that is where we could at least advance, save more lives, and find that common ground. They still got vetoed. So that kind of answers your question there. So It's challenging, but we can't be having people threatening others' lives over this issue on either side, I would say. When you do stuff like that, it just turns people off to your message.
Well, this is obviously an ongoing conversation, and we're out of time today, but I really appreciate both of you joining us for the conversation.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thanks and for having us.
And a reminder to our viewers, this is the first in a two-part series on this conversation. Be sure to check out our second conversation with pro-choice advocates next week. You'll find our programs on wisci.org.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrell Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.